Father, as I present these amazing truths, God, encourage us with the hope that is imperishable in Jesus Christ. Amen. In Hebrews, there are examples of faith attributed to the heroes of faith. Hebrews 10, 21, 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now the just shall live by faith." Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Then all these died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. By faith, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians tried to do, in other words, but they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. But he said, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in warfare, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, here it is, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They did not receive the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, you and me, Wayne, Russ, Chris, that they without us should not be made perfect. So as I contemplated this message today, I thought about how many times as a Christian I have heard the word faith. It's spoken in sermons, teachings, conversations, prayers, devotions, exhortations, and even in the silence of my own heart during meditations on the Word of God. It is the one word that seems to promise hope, faith, that one word that seems to promise hope for answered prayers, for healing, for wisdom, for understanding, for discernment, help, guidance, and so much more as I acknowledge my own lack of ability to accomplish much of anything without God's help. Help my unbelief. That's a little bit of the lack of faith or littleness of faith. As I pray for things like miracles of healing or radical changes of lifestyle, habits, or general symptoms as evidenced by a lack of personal discipline. This morning when we were praying, there was faith in this room. Did you enter into that faith? Because that was our combined faith at work. And when something is combined, it's bigger. There's more of it. It's easier to access. And when we prayed, we were praying in faith. And I am expecting answers to prayer, especially from my own personal prayer for Tim, David. I'm expecting an answer of prayer for that because we were praying in faith. There's a promise there that's associated with that prayer. There seems to be things that I can do that don't require my faith to affect, like daily routines and other things that I just take for granted. It doesn't take much faith to eat a meal, mow the lawn, play with the dog. I guess another way to say that is that faith is not really in evidence when I'm doing things, everyday things. Does it take faith to drive someone to a doctor's appointment, weed the church garden instead of my own, do a bondsman effort with church friends working side by side? These things are like falling off a log compared to some things we are called to do as believers. I use the term believer, which Jim has recently taught us, as being synonymous with the word faith, being the same Greek word, which is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. So just taking it out one step further, a believer is called to be a faither. One who is a believer practices or engages in believing. So a faither is one who practices or engages in and with faith. I hear Jesus say, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this deeply rooted sycamore tree, be uprooted and cast into the sea. Or to this mountain, be removed. This is not exactly a practice routine encounter or anything like falling off a log. I'm sure Jesus could say to the mountain, be removed, and that physical mountain would be gone in a flash. We read in Hebrews, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We appreciate that all things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made. Moving a mountain or moving a planet is all the same to him. What a mighty God we serve. Now I can make things a whole lot easier on myself by saying that that mountain he spoke of was a metaphorical mountain and the word just spoke of extreme difficulties in my life. We all talk about mountains being good times or in a bad sense, unsurmountable obstacles and valleys as low times and depression in our lives. But this is the Creator speaking, and while standing on this mountain, told his disciples they could remove it if they had faith. It was this sycamore tree and this mountain that the disciples were standing upon or looking at. We need not trivialize God's exhortation to make it fit our little faith. So easy to turn everything into a metaphor, isn't it? And Jesus is going, oh, it's not what I meant. And here's an example. Moses, being credited as one of the heroes of faith in Hebrews, by faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Moses never saw Christ, or did he? He says he esteemed the riches of Christ more valuable than anything he could get out of Egypt as being the son of Egypt. But Jesus said himself, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me because he spoke of me. There's an amazing truth. But here's the one. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Now, this was not a metaphorical Red Sea that he had to cross. If so, then this metaphor drowned the entire army of the Pharaoh. And some Bible interpreters today would have said to the drowning Egyptians, come on, guys, you're not really drowning. This is just a metaphorical example of your unbelief in the God of Israel. That's how the interpreters would have them do that today, but can you imagine them interpreting that scripture to the drowning Egyptian going under the water for the last time? Come on, you're not really drowning. This is a metaphor. It doesn't work. Okay, so now let's consider what Jim has also taught us about the word faith. There was the act or action of faith, but there was also the noun phrase, the faith, as Paul exhorts in Romans 1, 3 through 5, concerning his son Jesus, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we all have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And in 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And in Galatians, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. That's Paul speaking, and he's saying they recognized at one point that I was out to kill off the church and the members in the church and testify against them and witness their death. But now they know that I teach and preach the faith. In Ephesians, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here, our Christianity is called the faith. As it calls out an order of assembly of believers or faithers who by individual participation or adherence to the set of beliefs and practices as set forth by God in his word is what is making up the church with Christ as our head. And as we read in Hebrews 10:11, we cannot help but notice that these wonderful chapters tie the word promise to the word faith several times. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world, not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, by which also the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And in Romans, it says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And now unbelief is the opposite of faith. But it says, was strong in their faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Getting the promises are getting closer. And in Galatians 3:14, 3:22, and Hebrews 11:19, again and again, it ties the promise to the word faith. So, I started this message with a personal observation. And I'll quote myself because I've given myself permission to quote myself. Faith is the one word that seems to promise hope for answered prayers, for healing, growth, wisdom, understanding, discernment, health, guidance, and so much more as I acknowledge my own lack of ability to accomplish much of anything without God's help. We can quote the word forever with scriptures like, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And taken as a whole, we can really see how God is trying to get us to embrace faith, grow in faith, practice faith, preach the faith, and indeed live by the faith. This is really an all-encompassing word for our lives. But here's the thing. The Old Testament heroes of faith did everything they did without realizing the promise. In other words, their faith that pleased God and promoted their identification as being righteous in God's eyes was all before Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus was the promise of God. He was the promised seed of Abraham and of David. And the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of promise. So Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom, while you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, to whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And to put it simply, the Old Testament believers have never received the promise, behaved as if they already had the promise filled and it was counted to them as righteousness. We have this promise fulfilled with such a great cloud of witnesses who have believed and acted in faith before us, have a greater potency to demonstrate the exercise of our faith. This promise has been fulfilled for us already. We have a greater impetus or potency as well to exercise that faith. Surely, if these heroes of faith did what they did with only a partial revelation, how much more should I act and be acting in faith, having received the full revelation of all the promises fulfilled in Christ? If my faith is weak or small, it is because I have taken my eyes off the Father, the promiser, the Son, the actuator of the promiser, and the Holy Spirit, the promise sealer. I have spoken a lot about faith, and I'm concluding. Am I any better off concerning the exercise of my faith because of this talk today? Is that mountain or sycamore just a little looser in the ground? Paul has given us, and here is the very core of this message today. Paul has given us a secret passcode on how we can fully enter into a life full of faith. If I want the best source of knowledge on any subject, I want to go to the source of the knowledge. If I want to understand faith in its fullest sense, I want to go to the source of that faith. If I want to go to the source of anything, the first place it occurs or manifests itself, I want to go to the top or head of that knowledge. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the source of not just faith, but the faith. God, in his divine wisdom, made Christ the head of the church, which us as members, one of another. And by assembling together in obedience to the faith, we stand to grow together in faith and in the faith. It is God's plan and desire indeed, his command that we do not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, because he knows that our gathering, our loving, our bearing one another's burdens, our learning, our praying, and building together ourselves up in the most holy faith will cause us as individuals to grow in faith, exercising greater and greater feats of exploits of belief, increasing in strength until we all come to a full measure of the stature of the men and women of Christ, who is our head. Our faithful and true witness, the healer, the lifter of our heads, the mighty King of Kings, and I am declaring that my faith will grow together with your faith, and we will be strong and do exploits because we will know our God better and better over time. I want to draw close to God with a full assurance of faith, and I am now convinced I cannot do that without you, my fellow faithers in Christ. The promises of God are yea and amen to them that believe. My version, the promises that are inextricably tied to faith are yes, indeed, and absolutely for sure to them that believe, that are faithers in Christ Jesus. His word and his commitment to keep his promise to the church. I'm going to end with a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was one of the greatest preachers that was ever known, most prolific in his writings, wrote words, devotions like Morning and Evening. He has actually penned over 1 million words in sermons. A very gifted man of God, very intellectual, but very, very good communicator. So here's what he says. Without faith, we are without Christ, and consequently, without a Savior. It would be infinitely better to be without eyes, without hearing, without wealth, without bread, without garments, without a home, rather than to be without the faith that brings everything the soul requires. Without faith, we are spiritually naked, poor, miserable, lost, condemned, and without a hope of escape. Father, these words remind us, Lord, that there is the faith, there is the hope, there is the love. The greatest of these is love. But we appreciate faith, Father, as a way to draw near to you in full assurance. F-A-I-T-H, Father, all in thy hands. We commit our hearts to you, Lord. We commit our bodies to you. We commit our wills to you. We commit this church to you, Lord. We cannot grow without each other, Lord, because this is the faith. This is the head, Christ, over the church, who brings the faith down through the members of this body and out into the world and towards each other, Lord. We grow in faith, Father, just as a cell splits into 2 and 4 and 8 and 16. We are growing in faith, Father, and we are maturing in Christ until we come to the full nature of a stature of a man in Christ. Help our faith increase, Father, so that you said the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We want to be strong and do exploits, Father. We don't just want to speak words that fall to the ground and the community just sees nothing but words. They hear words all day long. They need to see exploits. They need to see strong people, Lord. Increase our faith, Father, even as we gather around your word. But Lord, more so, God, we ask that you would demonstrate faith through our individual members, one to another, working hand, side by side, hand in hand, in matters concerning the promotion of the faith and the exercise of our faith for the sake of your Son, who gives us and grants us faith, whom, Father, he received without measure. And I ask, God, that you would pour out your blessings on this church, that we would faith each other, that we would nourish each other, that you would see our church growing in faith, and that you would see us, Father, as readily available to you for the work of the ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.